revival meeting where there's a number of men preaching, and the pastor is usually the moderator. And oftentimes after the preachers got up and preached, because the pastor's used to preaching and talking, he feels that he has to give you a synopsis, all right, of what the preacher just said. We heard him. We know what he said. And so when we come to camp meeting, I usually start out in the Sunday school hour on Sunday morning so I can get everything that's in me out. You see, and so then I'm not going to give you synopsis, all right, about what the preachers just preached. So you see, that's why I'm starting out this morning, so I can get it all out of me, and then I can just direct the meeting as the Lord would have us to do that. So take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of Romans, the 13th chapter, Romans chapter 13. Now realize this, folks, also, camp meeting is a time when the saints of God gather together, and you know, we just want to enjoy the Lord. Amen. And we just want to enjoy one another. There's a bunch to do out there when we leave this building, I'm talking about at the end of the week, but camp meeting is just a time to enjoy God and fellowship with the Lord and the music and the preaching and the gathering of the saints. So I want you to realize something. We're not going to try to wear you out, but we're not under any time constraints, okay? So we're going to stay here as long as God wants us to stay here. And we'll hopefully leave. We'll know when he wants us to leave too. Not when we want to leave, but when he wants it all to come to a conclusion. But I'm putting you on, you know, on notice that we're here to enjoy the Lord. So let's do that. All right, Romans chapter 13. I just want to read to you two verses, and then I'm going to pray verses 11 and 12. Romans chapter 13. Notice what Paul says in verse number 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I know what I am naturally. And Lord, it's not even nothing. It's less than nothing. It's wicked. Lord, there's nothing good in me but you. And so Lord, this morning as I come to you, I'm asking for your help. I'm praying, Lord, that you'd give me a divine enabling. Lord, not what's in me naturally, but, oh God, what's in me supernaturally. Lord, by the Spirit of the living God, I pray, God, that you'd quicken me. Dear God, that you'd use me. It's like Peter when he said that his desire was to stir you up by way of remembrance. I pray, dear God, that you use me today, this morning, to stir up the saints. And God, I'm asking that you'd give us a great meeting this week. Lord, our desire is to fellowship with you. And the most important thing about this meeting, dear God, is the presence of God in this place. And so, dear Lord, I just want to take a moment and invite you to move in and to manifest yourself in the midst of your people. And Lord, help us to glorify you and exalt your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For I pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in these couple of verses that we just read here in Romans chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is giving us some helpful and practical and spiritual advice. And what he tells us here in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and 12, is that every Christian, he's talking to every Christian, he's telling every Christian, number one, that we all need to wake up. For he says in verse number 11, it's high time to awake out of sleep. And so we're to wake up, but he also tells us, number two, he says, get up. And in verse number 12, he says, why? Because the day is at hand. And then the third thing that he tells us is dress up. He tells us in verse number 12 to put on the armor of light. And what I'm wanting you to realize this morning is this. If you don't wake up and you don't get up and you don't dress up, You're going to miss out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zachary Taylor was elected to be the 12th president of this United States. And he was to take the oath of office on March the 4th, 1849, which was a Sunday. Well, Zachary Taylor notified the Congress that he would not take the oath of office on a Sunday, on a Lord's Day. And so he said, if I'm going to be president of the United States and take the oath of office, you're going to have to do it on another day than Sunday. You'll have to do it on Monday.
Amen.
All right. Well, the preceding president, 11th president of the United States, was James K. Polk. All right. The Constitution said that James K. Polk could not serve one day longer than his term. His term ended on Sunday at 12 noon. And Zachary Taylor wouldn't take the oath of office until Monday at 12 noon. So the United States was kind of in a quandary here for a little bit here. They were going to go one day without having a president of the United States. And so they, what they decided to do was the Senate chose David Rice Atkinson. He was the head of the Senate, and he was going to serve as president for one day. All right, from Sunday, March the 4th, 12 noon, to Monday, all right, March the 5th at 12 noon. That was going to be the time of his term as president of the United States. Well, realize you're going from one administration to the next administration, and there was all kinds of work that had to be done, and the senators were working late, and it came to the end of the week, you know, for the next administration to start. David Rice Atkinson was completely exhausted when he got home on Saturday night. Folks, I'm telling you a true story now. All right, and so he went to bed on Saturday night, and he said to his landlady, he said, "Don't wake me up for anything." And so you know what he did? He went to bed on Saturday night, and he slept Saturday night, and he slept Sunday morning, and he slept Sunday night, and he slept all the way into the afternoon on Monday. He slept through his entire term as president of the United States.
Yes.
He didn't wake up, and he didn't get up, and he didn't dress up. So he missed out. Amen. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you this morning. If you don't wake up and get up and dress up, you're going to miss out. And so here's what you need to realize, all right, in regard to all that, so that you don't miss out. Number one, here's what you need to get impressed upon your head and in your heart. The Lord is coming back soon.
Yes. Yeah.
The Lord is coming back soon. You better get that. In verse number 11, notice what the Apostle Paul said. He said, "For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Listen, friend, every day, every week, every month, and every year brings us closer to the Lord's return. And if you can't see that he's coming back soon, good night, you need to wake up.
Yes.
In verse number 12, he says, "For the day is at hand." Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. He said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." The day that's at hand is the day of Jesus Christ. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about the rapture, and he's talking about the judgment seat of Christ. And friend, you got to realize that day is near. Do you know why that I know that the Lord's return is near? Because the signs which forecast his return are being seen all around us. You say, what are some of those signs? I'm glad you asked that question. I got about 45 to give you. No, just a few real quickly. Number one, here's a sign that the Lord's return is near. Apathy. Apathy. And you know what I'm talking about? Apathy. I'm talking about dullness. And there's an apathy and a dullness amongst the saints. Remember what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2? He said that we are living now in perilous times. Right? And then he began to give the signs of those perilous times in which we're now living. All right, and he said the first thing, he said, "For men shall be what? Lovers of their own selves." All right, and Christians, instead of having a heart that's a fire for the Lord, they've allowed the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things to put out their spiritual fire. You understand what I'm talking about? You got some men here that are evangelists. Their livelihood is to travel around from church to church. Go to them, talk to them privately, tell them and ask them, what's the spiritual temperature of the churches today? And you know what they'll tell? They might come, the saints might come to church on Sunday morning, but they're not coming back on Sunday night, and they're not coming to church on Wednesday night, and they're not going out on visitation, and they're not coming to prayer meeting. There's an evangelist. Oh, exactly right. You know what? There was a day when we're getting older now. But you see, when we got saved, man, you know what? We got in, and glory to God, we got all the way in. We knew that, man, if you got saved, you're supposed to go to church. You're supposed to be there every time the doors are open. When revival meetings come, man, let her rip, because we're going to be there every single night. That's how we were raised. And it's a different generation now. There's an apathy amongst the saints. Amen. That's a sign that the Lord's return is near. And you know what happens? That's a sign you got apathy. And here's the second sign. You know what apathy leads to? Apostasy. Apostasy. You know what apostasy is? It's departure from the truth. Remember what the Apostle Paul said over in the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. In verses 1 and 2. Let me give you those verses. Well, let me give you verses 1 to 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said this. For now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. As that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first. And as we get closer to the return of the Lord, you're going to see Christians forsaking what's true, the scriptures, and doing what they want to do. Just like in the day of Judges, where you have Judges chapter 21, verse number 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And that's how Christians are living today. I'm telling you, friend, you need to wake up, because the Lord's coming back real soon. And I ain't talking about 10 or 20 years from now. All right? I'm planning on going with the Undertaker, not the Undertaker. Amen. Because I believe it's in, man, if it's not a year or two away, it's going to be real soon. But the signs of his appearing are real. Are being seen right now. It starts with this apathy, and then it goes on to apostasy. And then here's another one, agitation. Agitation. I was telling Brother Clayton yesterday, I was talking about some preachers, and I said, you know what? I said, the guy that trained me was Dr. Tom Malone. He was a great sermonizer, amen. And you know how, when you made a message, you had an introduction, and you had a conclusion, and you had a body in between, and in that body, you had an alliteration, amen. And so I got on some A's, Brother Clayton, and all I got now is some A's in regard to giving you some signs about the Lord's return. And the third one is agitation. Agitation. In the world, you know what? There's a lot of agitation going on. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. He was speaking to his disciples about the end of the world. In verse number 6, he said, you're going to hear about this. Wars and rumors of wars. And he said, nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And the world, hey friend, you understand this is in crisis mode. Every day you're hearing about North Korea with their nuclear weapons, and Iran getting nuclear weapons, and Islamic extremism in Syria and Afghanistan and Africa and all throughout the world. Right. Hello? Someone's knocking at the door. Hello, will you wake up? The Lord's return is what? Soon. Apathy, apostasy, agitations. Here's another one. Aggressions. Aggressions. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 37. He says, for as the days of Noah were, even so shall the days of the coming of the Son of Man be. And remember, when you read about the conditions that prevailed in Noah's time in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 13, you know what he said? The Bible says the earth was filled with violence. And every day the news is filled up with stories of violence and killings and death. And friend, I'm wanting you to realize something. It ain't gonna get any better. Listen, I'm not discouraged. All right, I'm encouraged. All right, and I don't care how dark it gets. You see, because as dark as it gets, all right, that gives the light the ability to shine in the darkness. Amen. So I'm not discouraged at all. But realize this: as the world gets more godless, and it's getting more godless, and as the world even gets more religious, and it's getting more religious. All right, but as the world gets more godless and more religious, it's going to get more violent. Amen.
Yeah. Right.
Yep. I see it coming. Okay. Aggressions. I'll give you one last one. All right. Here's what I see in regard to a sign, in regard to humanity. You know what they are? Active, yet unaware. Active, yet unaware. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And remember what he said there. He's talking about his return. And I realize some of these things that I'm talking about have to do with his, revelation when he comes back at the end of the tribulation. But nonetheless, these things are being seen around us right now. It's a forecast of what's going to take place. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse number 28, he says, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. I know that the days of Lot were characterized by perversion and wickedness and violence. But realize this, you know what the days of Lot were characterized by? The majority of those who lived in Sodom were busy doing all the things that society does, buying and selling and business and marriages and so forth and so on, completely unaware of the great judgment and destruction that was coming.
Yeah, that's right.
And friend, that's where America is right now. And that's where the world is, completely unaware. People, I'm not even apologizing for saying, people today are stupid. Stupid. I think I was watching a little clip on Fox News. They had a reporter, he was going to college students. College students. He had a picture of Joe Biden. You know, the guy who was just vice president of the United States, and thank God he's not anymore. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right, but he's showing college students. He's saying to them, who is this? He went to several of them, and you know what? Only one knew who it was. Only one. Ronald Reagan, they were saying. They didn't know who Joe Biden was. And then he went to them with a picture of Kim Kardashian. And you know what? Every one of them got it right.
What?
That's Patrick. He's with us, but he's not really with us. So. But we love him anyways. Amen. But you know what? He's just an extreme case. All right? Because a lot of you folks are like that too. You're with us, but you're not really with us. Amen. Christian, wake up. The Lord's return, he's coming soon. All right, that's number one. Number two, here, let me give you the second thing. Why you need to wake up and get up and dress up so you don't miss out. goes right along with what I'm talking about. If the Lord's return is soon, all right, then our time, the time to labor is short. The time to labor is short. If Jesus Christ is coming back, then our days to labor are limited and numbered and short. May I give you a few places of Scripture, a few verses of Scripture to stir your mind up? All right, one place is 1 Samuel chapter 21. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, David was fleeing from King Saul, who's trying to kill him. And the Bible says in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 21, then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? Verse 2 says, and David said unto Ahimelech the priest, are you listening? The king hath commanded me a business. David, what are you doing? I'm doing the king's business. Now, wait a minute. Then look over at verse number 8. And David said to Ahimelech, and is there not here under thy hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Yes. You know what that word haste means? Urgency. I got news for you, friend. You saved? I'm talking to saved people. The king has commanded you a business. He's commanded you a business. Everybody here, you saved by the grace of God? The king has commanded you a business, and he's coming back soon. So the king's business requires what? Haste. We got to get with the program. Remember in John's Gospel chapter 4, when the Lord Jesus Christ had sent out his disciples to purchase some food, and while they were away, he was by the well, and he won that Samaritan woman unto himself. And after he had won her and she had departed to go tell all the other men in the city about the one who she had met, who was the Savior, the Messiah, and the disciples come to Jesus and they say, Master, they said, eat. And remember, the Lord said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And they're thinking he's talking about physical food. And remember, he said in John chapter 4, verse number 34, he said, my meat is to do his will. Yeah. And to what? Finish his work. Now, you understand this, that the Lord's public ministry only lasted for 3.5 years. And he's somewhere in the midst of that 3.5 year ministry. And you know what he realizes? My time is short. And so you know what? I got to get with the program. And I got to be busy, because the king's business, my father, requires haste. Because when it comes down to it, you know what I want to be able to do? Go to the cross and be able to say, it is finished.
Amen.
Not only of what he did on the cross, but everything he did in between. Remember when he prayed his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17? He says, I have finished. I have finished. He did everything God wanted him to do. The Lord's coming back soon, and you know what, folks, we better realize? Our time is short in regard to being able to labor for him. And when he calls us home to heaven and we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, we ought to be able to say like Paul, I finished my course. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel, chapter 9, before he opened the eyes of that blind man, he said, the night cometh. I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Friend, you only got a limited amount of time, and you know what the problem is with a lot of people? They don't know what time it is. A fellow rushed into a train station one time, and he said to the clerk at the desk, he says, when's the 801 train going to come and arrive? He said, at 801. He said, my watch says 7:59. He says, and the clock out there in the town square there says 7:57. And he says, and your clock says 804. He says, what time is it? And he says, when's the train going to leave? He says, you're too late. He says, the train's already left. You know what? Don't make any difference what time you think it is. You might think it's 8:57, but you know what? Train's pulling out. Time's up. Time's done. You need to realize there's not a whole time left to labor for the Lord. You know, years ago, some of these preachers that have been around for a while, they ain't talking about this anymore, but they were for a number of years. Preacher burnout. Remember, they were talking about that for years. Preacher burnout. Oh, the preacher's been laboring so hard that he's burnt out. All right, and I realize, you know, you need times of rest and you need times of refreshment. But because the Lord's return is soon and because the time to labor is short, then you know what? Burn out, for goodness sake.
Yes.
I'd rather be laying in a box with my hands across my chest and they be able to say, you know what? He burned out for God. Amen.
Amen.
Than not being aware and not being ready for the Lord's return. Hallelujah. I got a third one for you. I'm about getting it all out of me. I'll be good for the rest of the week. Here's another thing why you got to wake up. All right? Or what you need to do in regard to waking up. The Christian has to be willing to make some sacrifices. To make some sacrifice. You know what a sacrifice is in the Bible? I don't care if it's in the Old Testament, New Testament. This is what a sacrifice is. All right, a sacrifice is something an individual offers to God. That's what a sacrifice is. It's something you offer to God, and it's offered to God in worship and in obedience, and it springs or emanates from a heart of love. That's what a sacrifice is. Now, we don't need to offer to God, you understand this, any kind of animal sacrifice and all that kind of stuff, because the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross is good once and for all in regard to the atonement and the forgiveness of our sins. But still, there are New Testament sacrifices that can be made. Yeah. You and I need to make some sacrifices. Sacrifices of what? Well, I've already talked about one. Time. Let's say we had a literal altar here. You know what you need to do? You need to come to that literal altar and put on that altar some time. You know why? Because it takes time to worship God. It takes time. And it takes time to have a devotional life. It takes time to read your Bible. It takes time to pray. It takes time to serve the Lord. Hey, listen, give God a sacrifice of your time.
Amen.
Give the Lord a sacrifice of your talents. You know what you have? You have natural abilities. And you know what else you have? You have supernatural abilities. There are abilities that you were born with, and there are abilities that God gave you when you got saved.
Amen.
All right, you're going to have folks like Brother Daniel. You know what? His ability to play that piano and sing, that's just kind of a natural thing. Now, to bless you so that you get, you know, blessed in your heart, that's had to be the natural combined with the supernatural. But you've got natural and supernatural abilities. The roses, they can sing, man. They're going to sing for you this morning. They got natural and supernatural abilities, because when they sing, they're going to minister to your soul, your spirit. All right, so you have natural abilities, you have supernatural abilities, and we're to use those abilities. Are you listening? For the Savior. And then let me not only say that, but get this next part. You're to use your natural abilities and your supernatural abilities for the Savior in the ministry of a local church.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Husbands, love your wives as what? Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Great Commission is to be carried out by the church. I'm not saying you can't do other stuff, but first place, you're to use those natural and supernatural abilities is in the local church. And you know what you see? And hey, you know what? These evangelists, they want to step up and say I'm wrong. They're not going to say it because I'm right. There's a forsaking today of the saints in the ministry of a local church. They're not serving the Lord like they used to in the local church. Sacrifice of your time, sacrifice of your talent, sacrifice of what? Your treasure. If you believe that the Bible is true, this King James Bible is perfect, every single word of it. If you believe that this Bible is true, if you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ saves and there is no salvation in any other but He through His death, burial, and resurrection by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you believe that hell is hot, and if you believe that heaven is real, how could you not give of your finances to the work of the Lord for the salvation of sinners? Come down to the altar and put on that altar a sacrifice of your time and of your talents and of your treasures. Why? The Lord's return is soon and the time to labor is short. And so the Christian has to make sacrifices. I almost got it all out of me. Got one more. I'll be done. Yeah. They're telling you they got to get some place.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
Time short.
That's it. Last one is this. We must go after souls. We have to go after souls. You know, in regard to the salvation of sinners specifically, there's two things that everybody here can do. Number one, pray. We can pray for sinners to get saved. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul here in the book of Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. Remember what he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know what? One day God's going to answer that prayer. And all of Israel is going to get saved.
Right. Yes.
At the time of the second advent.
Right.
I don't know if I can have enough faith and a big enough prayer to save an entire people, a whole nation. But I ought to have enough to get one by one. I ought to be able to have enough faith. You know, the Bible says if we ask anything according to the will of God, He heareth us. And God is not willing that any man should perish, but that all men come to repentance.
Yes.
All right? And if we pray in the name of Jesus, Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. All right? So if I'm looking at a lost sinner, all right, it's God's will that he gets saved. So I know I'm not missing out, all right, or not praying according to the will of God when I'm praying for that person's salvation. And I know that if I'm asking in Jesus' name, you see, everything about that prayer is right. I might miss sometimes because I ask amiss, but when I'm praying for a sinner, I'm never asking amiss.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You ought to, I've said this before, but I say it again, you ought to be a sniper for Jesus. Get in your cross, your spiritual crosshairs or your gospel gun, someone, and say, God, I got to get that one. I've got to get that one. God, my heart's desire, my prayer,
yes,
is that that person might get saved. And you pray for them every day until they do. You pray for them. And here's a second thing you do. Every sinner can pray. And every sinner can do what? Go! Amen. You can't just pray. You got to go. Amen. Jesus said to his disciples, go you therefore and teach all nations. And he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I close with this. There was a man by the name of Edward Payson Scott. We got some folks in here from India. Edward Payson Scott was a missionary in India. And he got it upon his heart to go to a particular mountain tribal people in India. And I guess you would, if I can say the name of this tribe right, it was Nagas or Nagas. But he had it in his heart to win these people to Christ. They were a very violent, maybe even cannibalistic kind of people. But he had it on his heart to bring the gospel to them. And because they were known for their violence and, you know, how brutal and what they would do to people, his friends told him, they tried to say, tell him, don't go. But he purposed in his heart he was going to go. And one thing he did before he went was he became affluent. He learned their language. He could speak their language. In India at that time, the Brits were in control. And so a British army officer said to him, we'll give you a military escort to get there. Just to get there was going to be dangerous. They said, we'll escort you there and get you there. You know what Mr. Scott said? He said, that doesn't go along with whom I'm going to preach and what I'm going to preach, the gospel of peace. I don't need your military escort. Now, not only was he fluent in their language, but Maria, I'm telling her because she's a violinist, and you know what Mr. Scott was? He was a violinist. He could play the violin. And so he started up this mountain to get to these people. It was going to take about a 3 or 4 day trek. And he finally was getting into close proximity where they were, and they came out. And they came out with their spears, and they surrounded him. And they had him in the midst of their circle, and they had the spears pointed at his heart. You know what Mr. Scott did? He reached down, he opened up his violin case. And he began to play. And then he began to sing in their native tongue. As he played, he sang, alas, and did my Savior bleed? And did my sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. They'd never heard anything like that. And when he got done singing to them that gospel song and playing on his violin, every spear was lowered. And he looked at those savage people. In regard to some of those savage men, there were tears coursing down across their cheeks. And you know what Mr. Scott did? He just spent the rest of his life winning those people to Christ. And building a church amongst them.
Yes, amen. Praise the Lord.
Christian, come on now, we need to wake up. And we need to get up. And we need to dress up. Because the Lord's return is soon.
Yeah.
And the time to labor is short.
Right.
And we got to be willing to make some sacrifices. And we got to get concerned about winning souls. Let's pray. Val, play me something. Real quickly. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Val's going to play something. We're not going to sing a song of invitation, but she's here just going to play for a moment. If you want a God dealing with you, you need to come to the altar right now. Why don't you come? Just slip out of your seat. You know what? Let's get a good start to camp meeting and let's do some business with God. Come on now. Come on. She'll just play here for a moment and then I'll finish with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for a salvation that's free by grace. Dear God, thank you for saving my soul. Dear God, I'm thankful I could be in church today. There's no other place I'd rather be but here. And dear God, I'm asking that you please give us a great meeting. As much as we've labored and prepared, Lord, unless you bless it, unless you breathe upon it, it'll come to naught. We're completely dependent on you. Help us to make decisions this week that will have an effect on all eternity and draw us nearer, nearer, precious Lord, to thee. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Take a little break and then we'll